Of the 360 students here at Wiley College, only 45 of you were brave enough to try out for the debate team. Of that 45, only 4 of you will remain standing when the tryouts are over. Why? Because debate is blood sport. It's combat. But your weapons are words. Come on in. Now that Mr. Farmer has joined us, we can begin. Sit down, Mr. Farmer. Not right there. Over there.
This way. James, not this way.
Good evening, Miss Tolson.
Evening.
We're waiting for you, Mr. Farmer.
I'm going, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. You smell very good, Mr. Farmer.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Gentlemen and lady, this is the hot spot. You will enter it at your own risk.
Mr. Tolson, what about the debaters from last
week? Don't ask a question you already know the answer to. Get up here. You'll be first. Get right here. Hot spot. Debate starts with a proposition, with an idea, resolve. Child labor should be regulated by the federal government. The first debater argues the affirmative. Affirmative means that you are for something. Mr. Reed will argue the affirmative. The second debater argues the negative. Negative means that you are what?
Against.
Brilliant, Mr. Burgess. You shall argue the affirmative, Mr. Reed. Go.
Well, sir, I begin with a quote from the poet Cleghorn. The golf links lie so near the mill that almost every day the laboring children can look out and
watch the men at play. Is that what you learned from last year, Mr. Reed? To start something and not finish it? Is it?
No, sir.
Sit down. Who's next? You? Stand up. Stand up. It's getting late. How much longer can you hide?
I'm not hiding, sir. I transferred from my college just to come here and try out for you.
I'm deeply moved. What's your name?
Samantha Book.
Book?
With an E.
Arise, Miss Book. With an E. Into the hot spot, Miss Book. With an E. You know, there's never been a female on the debating team, ever.
Yes, sir, I know that.
What makes you think you should be the first?
Because, sir, I am just as qualified as anybody else here. My gender
Resolve.
Has nothing.
Welfare discourages hard work. You'll argue the negative.
All right.
Welfare takes away a man's strongest reason for working, which is survival. And that weakens the will of the poor. How would you rebut that, Miss Book? With me?
I would say it does not. Most of the New Deal goes to children anyway, and to the handicapped, and to old people.
Is that fact or conjecture?
It is a fact.
Speak up.
It is a fact.
What's your source?
The President.
Of the United States?
Yes, sir.
That's your primary source. You spoke to President Roosevelt personally.
Of course not. I did not speak to him personally, but I listened to his fireside chat.
Ah, a radio broadcast.
Yes.
Any other sources? Any other sources?
Yes, there are other sources. Like that look in a mother's eyes when she can't feed her kids. Without welfare, Mr. Tolson, people would be starving.
Who's starving, Miss Booker?
The unemployed are starving.
Mr. Burgess here, he's unemployed. Obviously, he's not starving. I drew you in, Miss Book. You gave a faulty premise, so your syllogism fell apart.
Syllogism?
Your logic fell apart. Major premise, the unemployed are starving. Minor premise, Mr. Burgess is unemployed. Conclusion, Mr. Burgess is starving. Your major premise was based on a faulty assumption. Classic fallacy. Who's next? Tell us your name.
I'm Henry Lowe, with an E.
All right, Mr. Lowe. I will name a subject. You speak a few words, a pertinent quote from world literature.
Go ahead.
Beauty.
I heard the old men say, all that is beautiful drifts away like the waters.
Very good. History. And name the author this time.
History is a nightmare from which I'm trying to awake. James Joyce.
Self-pity.
I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. D.H. Lawrence.